Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
Respected and honorable, beloved elders and brothers in Islam, the greatest day and the greatest elation and joy that this dunya had ever seen was the birth of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the direct contrast to that, the greatest catastrophe that was ever experienced by the people on earth was the day when our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left this world. Ulama have written that in the seerah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, three major events had taken place in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal. One was the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the different narrations, the exact date differs. The second was the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third, according to the most of the ulama, the demise and the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this earth. The fourth, there are a few ulama who have the opinion that the journey of Mi'raj had also taken place in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal, but those are all academic discussions. Over the years, we had discussed the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, important aspects pertaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak life, and we drew lessons from it. Today we will speak about the parting advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know that in the 10th year of the Hijrah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had undertaken this great journey of Hajjatul Wada. He left Madina Munawwara in the month of Zulqada. In the month of Zulhijjah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj. And during this Hajj, on many occasions, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to one fact in different words: خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Learn from me the rules, the laws, the regulations of Hajj, because perhaps you will not find me here after this. And then after Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had continued his journey, his return to Madina Tayyibah. Then at a place called Ghadir Khums, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt a need to address the Sahaba. The khutbah is an extended one, But just the first part of that khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the Sahaba, I am immortal, I am not here forever, and soon the messenger of my Rabb will come and call me, and I will respond to the call of the messenger of Allah. Now that was also an indication about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam departing and leaving from this world. The end of Zul Hijjah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached Madina Tayyiba, the month of Muharram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam remained in Madina Tayyiba. And then thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam visited Jannatul Baqi, which was norm and practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam to do, and Allah give us all the tawfiq that we go often to the maqbara, to the qabristan, so that we also get ibrat and we also understand the shortness of this life. But nonetheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Baqi. And then in that period of time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also went to Uhud, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made dua for the shuhada of Uhud by way of Salatul Janazah. Now this is about 8 years after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had participated in Uhud. The shuhada of Uhud were buried. But here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt this need. The command of Allah had come down. He performed the Salatul Janaza of the Shuhada of Uhud. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam came back to Madina Tayyiba. Now going back to the first narration, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Baqi, our mother Siddiqa Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back from Baqi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said there, and I said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I made an expression, ah wa rasa. This is an expression, I've got a throbbing headache. I've got a throbbing headache. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam also responded by saying, ah wa rasa, I've also got a headache. But he goes on and he says to her, O Aisha, if you have to leave this world, then I will make the best arrangements for all the necessaries, your ghusl, your kafan, I will personally perform the janazah salat, your dafan, your burial. Our mother, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, does not understand where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is coming from. And she says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it looks like you're quite eager for me to leave, so that when I leave, you'll bring another wife into my apartment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiled. The muhaddithin state that that smile and that silence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very prohibiting, that he didn't want to divulge to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that now my last journey, this last illness has begun. And this was in the second part of the month of Safar. So Muharram passed in the month of Safar. Ulama have given dates, different dates, but it was in the second half of the month of Safar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to get ill. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam got ill, there's a lot of detail, time will not allow us to go into it. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became absolutely sick. And the illness and sickness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the most general sense was always very, very severe. Some muhaddithin have attributed the hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu to this occasion. It's a famous hadith that when he came in to make i'adat and to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw the condition and he put his hand on the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Friends, one is an admission into the presence. That makes a person a sahabi. One is the honor of touching this Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an added and additional honor that Allah Ta'ala had afforded the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll recall that hadith of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I touch silk and then I touch the hand, the Mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and wallah, the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was softer and smoother than that of silk. This was those fortunate galaxy of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiyallahu ta'ala anhum wa arda. May Allah ta'ala give us a glimpse of that love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu made a comment to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have extreme fever. You seem to be extremely sick, you in extreme pain. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abdullah, I bear the pain and the fever of two of you. Now this was afqahun nas. He was the greatest jurist of this ummah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His immediate response was, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you get double the reward. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's illness continued for a few days. But nonetheless, the Thursday before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, there is unanimity. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had passed on a Monday. So the Thursday before that, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday, the Monday. 4 days before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world. Sayyiduna Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but before he enters the room, he passes by the Ansar, the dwellers, the people of Madinah Tayyibah, who gave their life and rendered assistance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muhajireen, the people that shared half their wealth, we know all of that. They were outside the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a little distance away, and they were grieved, some were crying, they were saddened. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw all of this and he asked them, what is your condition? Why are you like this? They said, we recall that there were days when we could enter into this magnanimous presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any appointment, without any application. We would sit there, we would ask, we would discuss, we would chat, we would get our responses. But now it seems as though that door is closing. And that is that recollection of those days. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still in this dunya. But now there is a realization that something is changing, something is happening. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he relates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the condition of the Ansar outside. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders that 7 water bags, water skin bags, leather bags, be brought, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that that be poured over his Mubarak body. There were 7 wells in Medina according to Imam Ghazali and other commentators, and he asked for water from each of those wells. He poured it, he had it poured over his body. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refreshed, and now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the masjid. Fadl ibn Abbas The son of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is tasked with a job to make an announcement that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to address the people. The Rawi, the narrator, says that this was the last occasion he ascended the minbar. After this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never lived to stand on that minbar once again. Now, when we look at this address of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a great deal, but we will speak about the salient features that would affect our lives directly. One was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now having the knowledge of the condition of the Ansar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Usikum bil Ansar, I bequeath you, I advise you with regards to the Ansar, that they may be small in number, but O Muhajirin, take care of the Ansar. Whoever from amongst them makes an error, then overlook it. Brothers, just one idea of what the Ansar did for this deen. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at a later occasion, when he enumerated and he enlisted the efforts of the Ansar, he said to the people that possibly a mother would have not tolerated a son like how the Ansar tolerated us. A mother tolerates everything. This is an expression that he used, that they went beyond. We will speak about the extra mile. They'd given half their property. The hadith is very clear that on one occasion, they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Ya Rasulullah, now they gave half the share of the profits, of the fruit. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are prepared to give the property, half that property also to our Muhajir brothers. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. So that was one advice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to the Muhajirin. And friends, we also need to take this advice very, very seriously. That was not only restricted to the Ansar in the general sense, but he was addressing the Muhajirin with regards to the Ansar. And friends, we also need to take something very seriously from this. And that is our regard for the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In every respect, in every aspect, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the everything for Nabi Kapak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they had come at that time when there was absolutely nothing for them insofar as dunya was concerned. That batch of Sahaba, the Muhajirin, for example, in Makkah, what future could they see? We're living in this country and we can't see the future. We see load shedding, the darkness. But we can't see the future. What future would they have seen? What future would those Sahaba had seen when they had to leave Makkah Mukarramah and go to Abyssinia? Was that a future? But radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an, in those trying and difficult times, they withstood, they endured, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had granted them this dunya, and Allah had granted them akhirat. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to the assembly of sahaba, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَيَّرَ عَبْدًا بَيْنَ الدُّنْيَا وَبَيْنَ مَا عِنْدَهُ فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These words were very, very piercing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given one slave, one servant, a choice between this dunya and what is with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this slave, this servant, has chosen what is by Allah. Sayyidina Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator of this hadith. And Sayyidina Abu Sayyid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, in the whole majmua, in the whole gathering, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu burst into tears. Now, after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is addressing his students and he's saying to them that in our hearts we felt, what is this old man crying about? However, he is the most learned amongst us. Sahaba's regard for Sayyidina Abu Bakr was something else. He is the most learned amongst us and he understood that abd, that slave that he is speaking about, is himself Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The khutbah is being delivered. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Abu Bakr, la tabki. O Abu Bakr, do not cry. Do not cry. For you are the only person that had given me sincere companionship and had spent on the deen of Allah. It was on that occasion that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I would have taken a bosom friend, a Khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my bosom friend. But because Allah has made me His Khalil, I cannot take Abu Bakr as my friend, but there is this bond of ukhuwat, this bond of brotherhood between me and Abu Bakr, and of course, his love for deen. Then, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on, and he said, that certainly, I am for you a farat. Farat is a forerunner. When an army goes in a particular direction, there will be a group of people that go ahead of the army to see the conditions. And that person that is leading is called Farat. Allahumma ja'alhu lana farata. When we make janazah salat for a little child, a nabaligh child, then we use this word, oh Allah, make him a forerunner for us. Let him make the preparations for us in akhirat. So like that, I'm going forth. I'm in front of you, I'm ahead of you. And I will make that preparations. وَإِنِّي عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدٌ And I will be a witness upon you in the courts of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Brothers, this seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mind-boggling. Few months before that, he asked Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ Did I convey the message? And then he said, Allahumma shahad. He made Allah the witness that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had agreed that you had delivered. قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ وَأَدَّيْتَ You had delivered, you had fulfilled this mission of Islam. And now he is saying that I will be a shaheed upon you on the day of Qiyamah. وَمَوْعِدَكُمْ حَوْضِي The meeting place. You know when somebody is gone overseas, then I'll meet you at the lounge, we'll meet at the hotel, at the conference, wherever. Our meeting place will be my hawd, will be that pond, the hawd-e kawthar. And then he says, it is as though I can see it. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the majmua that it is not shirk, polytheism, it is not ascribing partners to Allah that I fear for you as an ummah. But what I fear for you as an ummah is dunya. He uses the word in the hadith, dunya. That you as an ummah, what are you going to do? You are going to compete with each other for this dunya. The result of what, which is, you are going to fight each other And the result is you are going to get destroyed like those before you got destroyed. Brothers, dunya is dunya. Allah sent us in this world. We have needs, we have necessities, and possibly and probably we'll have desires. But the one aspect of it is that what is halal we will take, we will earn. What is not halal we will keep away. With the mindset that what is mine in my taqdeer, Allah Ta'ala will grant it. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ We have to have this yaqeen that my rizq is in the skies. It is not in competition with others. This dunya leads us not only to compete who acquires more, but in competition who will own and earn more. And that competition doesn't end. And this is for us as brothers, as men, and it is also for our sisters, that we've come into the spirit of selfishness. Selflessness has left this ummah. Everybody is fighting the other with regards to this dunya, and we find that this dunya slowly but surely disintegrates and the world will come to an end. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا When that last shake and the quake of this earth will take place, it will spew out its gold, it will spew out its silver and all the precious metal. Nobody will look at it, because man realizes now it has no value. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then addressed the Sahaba, and another very important point Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam draws our attention to, and he says, is there anyone amongst you whom I have physically abused? Then he should take his retribution. He should take his revenge. Is there anyone of you whose honor and dignity I violated? Then he should also take the exact retribution. Is there anyone whose wealth I have taken, squandered, transgressed? Then he should take his retribution. Of course, who would be there that can make any claim that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam transgressed, violated their rights and their laws? On one occasion, we discussed Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's one khutbah, in which Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu addressed the Sahaba, and he said to them that there will be only one person, but one person, that will stand on the day of Qiyamah, and there will be no one that will have any recourse against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What does this tell us? Brothers, whilst huququllah, the rights to Allah Ta'ala, is of absolute importance, we cannot belittle and have an oversight with regards to huququl ibad. If this ummah today, you and I, are going through a crisis, one of the more important issues is we have violated the rights of others. We have not spared our ulama-i kiram. We have not spared the awliya and the sufis. We have not spared those that are in the khidmat of deen. But we will malign and we will badmouth others. And hence we forget ourselves that tomorrow we will also have to stand in the courts of Allah. And sometimes even worse, we do it in the name of deen. We do this in the name of deen. Nobody got up at that stage, because no one had any recourse against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made several requests to the audience, to the Sahaba. It is not my shan, it is not my habit to grudge anyone, to victimize anyone. Don't feel that if you stand up to take your rights, then I will grudge such a person. But nobody had stood up in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the Sahaba, is there anyone that has any need? Let him ask for it, so I will make dua. This is the Nabi of Allah. This is the Nabi of Allah that is now offering his dua. And again, we need to just understand that when Sahaba stood up, what would they ask for? We remember Rabi'ah ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rabi'ah, ask. And what did he say? Your companionship in Jannat. That is where the mind was of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So one person stood up and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, I am a liar. Number two, I am a munafiq. And number three, I sleep excessively. Make dua, Allah ta'ala removes this. See again, brothers, Sahaba looked at themselves. Sahaba introspected their own hearts. It didn't cost a Sahabi to say, I am a liar. It didn't cost a Sahabi anything to say, I am a munafiq. We remember Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu nafaqa Hanzala. He made the decree on himself that Hanzala is a munafiq. They looked into their own hearts. Today we will call the whole world munafiq. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and he made dua. Allahumma rzuqhu sidqan wa imanan. Oh Allah, grant him sidq. Grant him honesty, truthfulness. And in place of that nifaq that he claims, grant him the proper and complete and total iman. And oh Allah, remove from him the sleep except when he desires. Some sahaba say that we observed this person, he didn't sleep. Only when he wanted to sleep, he slept a bit and he would get up and carry on the ibadat of Allah. The next person stood up. And he said, oh Allah, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am a liar. I am a munafiq. And O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is not a sin that I did not embark upon. Look at Sahaba again, brothers. We will always portray ourselves to be pious. But they had this no takalluf. There was no formality. They spoke the truth. But obviously, that was his perception of himself. This is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, wait, you're disgracing yourself by exposing your sins. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mah ibn Khattab, you relax. You remain silent. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for this person also. Allah grant him sidq, Allah grant him iman. Allah change his condition to the condition of khair. And nonetheless, on that was the Thursday that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged in this khutbah and he exhorted the Sahaba to make dua for them. And in that way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded that majlis. Ummul Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anha says that maghrib of that Thursday was the last maghrib that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed, in which Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, after Surah Al-Fatiha, read the Surah Wal-Mursalati Urfa. And then after that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's health began to deteriorate. Yes, either the Saturday or the Sunday. At the time of Dhuhr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up. By then, he had already appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr as the Imam in his place. Sayyidina Abu Bakr had already begun the Salat. He was already in front. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from his room and then he sat on the left hand side of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr sensed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming. So he wanted to move back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestured, you remain where you are. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what we call khasiyat Nabi. This is unique only to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of us should think now when the Imam is in front, we can do the same. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the Imam of the Salat. Sayyidina Abu Bakr followed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba followed the takbir of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then that salat was completed. So that was the very last. Ummul Fadl, the namaz that he read on his own was that maghrib of the Thursday before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. And then from that time onwards, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving this ummat one advice. And he continued to give this advice. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Till there was voice, sound in his throat, and till there was breath in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Mubarak body, these were the two advices that he carried on giving. As-salah وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Salat, and in the context of slavery, what your right hand owns. Again, it boils down to the same thing. Salat, hukukullah. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Your slaves, be worried about them. Fulfill their hukuk, fulfill their rights. And friends, Sahaba took this thing so seriously. The riwayat is by Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another riwayat, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, feed them from what you eat, clothe them from what you wear. People noticed that the slaves of Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wore the very same clothes that he had worn, the same material. And in this way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left this world, had left this dunya. Brothers and friends, just leaning through this last portion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the advices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given, many of us, rightfully, in many instances, we hold on to the advices of the elders of our families, we hold on to the advices of the ulama of our times, which is rightful. However, let us understand the broad advices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the ummah 4 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed on. In this month of Rabiul Awwal, we generally tend to speak in abundance about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The idea is that now we continue for the rest of the year. Let us try and understand the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us try and understand the akhlaq and the character of this personality. Let us read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us bring the seerah into our lives. Let us try and emulate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect, in every respect of our lives. Then brothers and friends, inshallah, thumma inshallah, we'll gain some kind of connection with our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq, and Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our example in this world, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, we are all resurrected in the close precincts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala give us the opportunity to drink from the Hawd al-Kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala make us the beneficiaries of the shafaat of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama anta ahlu, fasalli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama anta ahlu, waf'al bina kama anta ahlu, فَإِنَّكَ أَهْلُ التَّقْوَى وَأَهْلُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents and our spouses, our siblings, our children, our family members. Ya Allah, forgive the whole ummah of Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to emulate our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives, Ya Allah. Grant us your muhabbat. Grant us the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the love of Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. Ya Allah, make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's day our day. Make his night our night. Ya Allah, make his standing our standing. Ya Allah, make his sitting our sitting. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to emulate our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect, Ya Allah. Make his fikr our fikr, Ya Allah. His fikr was this ummat. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make fikr for the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, take us out from the selfishness that we have, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and create within us, Ya Allah, selflessness for the ummah and for the whole of mankind. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu wa sallama ala an-nabiyil karim wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta